All right, welcome everybody to another episode of 21 Going On 77. I am one half of the dynamic duo. It is your boy Dwight at 517-2214. Joined again as I am every week. Well, every week. It is, Lord knows it has not been every week here of late, but every episode with the brains of the operation, the young prodigy, young SJ at SJ Basketball 8. SJ, how you feeling this beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening now?
I'm not doing too bad. Yeah, I'm just chilling here myself. How are you doing?
But I cannot complain. Life's been good. Yeah, I truly have no complaints with life right now. Let's get into it because I think it's been a while since we've put a pod out. Keep it a buck with y'all. We recorded a pod about 2 weeks ago, but I'm just gonna say there was some quality control issues with my mic and other stuff. So I wasn't gonna put that out and have y'all laughing at us on the timeline, or it wasn't good enough quality in my opinion to actually put out to the world. So I just left it alone, and here we are. We putting another one out, and as these playoffs come up, and I started a new role at work, so my work schedule is going to stabilize. I think we should be able to be more consistent. So anyway, let's get into it. I think it's been what, 3 weeks, maybe even a month since we put a pod out. So in that time, we went from stinking to being, I mean, we went from looking like we was going to win a championship to looking like we weren't going to win another game to back like we look like we're going to win a championship. So I think in the last, what, month or so, I think we like 15-6 or some shit like that. And I think all those games have been, we won every game, then lost every game, then won every game. It's kind of funny. Young SJ, how you feeling? How you feeling about the team as a whole right now? How you feel like how they performing? Where do you think we at?
Yeah, so I mean, to be quite frank, I have a lot to say about the team because the team has given me, a lot to say. And I think just with that being said, the team is in a unique spot right now in the fact that they are so confusing that I think they're also a bit confusing to the opponents. Like, I mean, at this point, I think we've kind of established ourselves as a team to watch at the very least. Like a team that, obviously you can never take them lightly because of the kind of star power that they have at the top in like, Luka, Kyrie. But at the same time, it feels like a team now. And I think, I mean, I want to say that I don't believe the team is complete, which is why, as much as, sometimes they look great, they look like, as you said, just like they could win a championship. If I'm putting that, objective kind of cap on, and I try to, look at things in a more kind of neutral lens, I understand that the team is not complete. There's things that are missing, and I think that also contributes to why they're so inconsistent because they're not like a complete team. But the framework is there. And we've talked a lot about framework, foundation, all that. And I mean, we had a pod episode a while ago entitled The Pieces Fit. And I do believe that we are seeing the makings of like a team that's like a, true championship contender. And I think you're kind of seeing that come together in that we're winning games in different ways that we haven't before. It's always been talked about. Like, we always say, oh, we live and die by the three. And that always, or that was seeming to be like a trait of like a Luka team or like the Mavs. And it just felt like it was never going to be different. We'd just always be a team that lives and dies by the three. If we can't shoot, then that's, we're probably going to lose that game. High variance, three ball, all that. Like, that just felt like that was going to be your identity for like the foreseeable future. And then, made a couple of trades, and now we can't shoot shit. Like, shit, we can't shoot. Like, that's what, but not even beyond that, we're winning, even though the three ball isn't there for us, because we're a athletic lob city points in the paint type of team now. And our threes are coming from our stars. You know, our stars, you know, take them at volume, make them at volume. And now I think, you know, we've been waiting, we've been saying, like, as a fan base, oh my God, like, you know, we're winning these games, we look so good, and our three ball isn't hitting. Like, what's gonna happen if our three ball hit? Like, I am really curious, what is going to happen in a game where we have this paint presence? This is the one of the few things that we're consistent about. Like, we're going to get points in the paint at this point. That's the makeup of our team now. The centers that we have, you know, the athletes, all that, we're going to get points in the paint. Now it's like, okay, if we have a hot shooting game, I wonder what that's going to look like. You have a
Gonna
guy
win a championship, man. That's what's gonna happen. No, I'm just
but here's
playing.
the thing, the shooters, because I was skeptical on us getting much shooting help. Like, like the numbers are like bad, and I think, you know, some people, like, for some players, they're gonna just correct by it just being so bad. Like, for example, PJ, like, you know, he said it earlier today, in a media session they had, but he's never shot it that bad. Like, he's been bad. Even if he was just like, he's been Thompson twin, like, bad type shit. Like, even if he was just regular bad, like, if he was at like 33%, I don't even think that would be too, you know, crazy. The fact that he's like 28, 27, like, that's bad. So I think at a certain point, that's gonna, I really do believe it's, he's had to play a lot of, like, different roles, especially defensively. Like, I think this is the hardest he's ever played on defense, and I don't think he was prepared. Like, his legs are prepared for, I don't know. There's a whole lot of theories you can, you know, go into for why he's shot it that bad, so far. But I just think, I'm not, it's not something I'm particularly worried about long term, because especially with PJ, I never, like, I don't expect all the positive, like, results that we're gonna get. I don't expect it to come immediately, especially for PJ. Gafford was an easy, like, he was gonna pop immediately. And you had the luxury of, okay, he's young enough and on a contract where he's gonna pop immediately, and he's gonna be, you know, steady long term. But with PJ, I, not to say that I don't think he's gonna do anything for us in the short term, because obviously he's helping us in the short term, but I always felt that the peak of what he would bring to us wouldn't come right away. Like, once we got him, I conditioned myself to believe that, and I truly believe that, which is why I'm not worried about, like, the shot yet. If we're in, like, if we're talking about his shot next trade deadline, like, you know, next year around this time, where we're like, damn, he still can't get it, then I'll be like, okay, let's talk about, you know, the shot. Like, if like I said, if we're back here in March and he's still shooting like 30%, 31% type shit, then we could talk. Then we could really talk. But until then, I'm not too worried about that. But with that being said, I mean, to my point that I was trying to make, we're a different team in terms of our makeup, and that's encouraging, because I had one of the things that I was looking for from the team, like, even in the wins, like, they were satisfying. But, and this is something that I never, and it might seem weird that I'm expressing it now, but it's something I felt for a long time, but I never wanted to express it because it sounded so weird and nitpicky. But sometimes I didn't like how we won games in that, I felt like we never, especially last season. I'm granted, we ended up being such a poor team that, you know, doesn't matter. But it never felt like we could play a good game, like our game against Denver, for example, that we played recently. That was such a good game, you know, from start to finish. Like, it was, you know, both teams had their runs, and, you know, it was just like a good, well played game, you know, from both sides, basically. Yeah, Jokic and Murray kind of had a little bit of stinkers, but they, you know, they still produced in spurts.
And
It's
they
not
had
like he was a
stinkers
total.
because they missed butt naked shots. They were getting guarded.
Exactly. So, it just felt like a good, well played game. It felt like we, every time we won in the past, not every time, obviously, but like a lot of times we won in the past, it was just like, We shot like a million threes and made like, you know, a good clip. And it was just, and then we blew the team out. You know what I'm saying? Like it was like just such high variance kind of games. It was just like we either lost in blowouts or won in blowouts. And then when we did get the clutch games, we lost them, you know, last year. Now it's like bad teams. Sometimes we beat the bricks off them. A lot of times we beat the bricks off them. The good teams, we're rarely blowing them out. But if it's in a clutch situation, we're beating them. And to me, that's just a good watch. You know what I mean? Like, especially from like a, on a game-to-game basis. Now it feels like we have more to go to if the three ball isn't falling. Your shot isn't falling? Okay, well, we can get to the paint. We're gonna have guys that are crashing the glass for putbacks. We're gonna, you know, like there's more to go to now. And the defense, again, a little more versatile. It's inconsistent because here's the thing with defense. Defense, you have to play it on a string. Like I watched a little bit. I didn't watch too much of it, honestly, but I watched a little bit of Clippers Sixers from earlier today. And there was a possession. It was a few possessions in a row where the Philly defense, it was just on a string. And I think I was watching, I think it was the Clippers broadcast. And literally, I thought to myself when I was watching it, I was like, wow, they're on a string. And literally, the announcer was like, the Philly defense is on a string. I was like, yeah, like they look so, like they just look so cohesive. And then when I was looking at who was on the court, it was Tyrese Maxey, Cam Payne, Tobias Harris, Paul Reed, I think it was like Kelly Oubre. That's not like when you're looking at the guys, none of those guys are like locked down defenders. You know what I'm saying? Like, none of those guys, like, some of them are good positional defenders. Like, I think Uber is a good, you know, positional defender. Tobias Harris is not bad. Cam Payne can't guard nobody. Tyrese Maxey is like, he's not like a leak on defense, but he's not guarding any. Paul Reed is an undersized center, even though he's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, these aren't guys with defensive reputations, but they were able to string together such good defensive possessions. Because the scheme was tight. You know, they were tight on rotations. They were talking. They were early. So I'm like my I say that to say that you do not need all defense at every single position to put together a solid defense. You don't even need above average defenders, you know, to put together a solid defense. The issue is consistency and the effort from the players. And you need to be on a string. So I felt like after, you know, the All-Star break when Kidd got in their ear and they look so bad, and now it's like, okay, they're getting a little bit more cohesive, and doing things together. I think the issue is the effort has to stay consistent. And my thing is, and the reason why I would resent the notion of, oh, well, because when I was getting angry, and here's the thing, I said it on the last pod that we did not release. Now I can get to say it. But and bear with me, I'm gonna try not to rant too much, but
Nah, get them
I
rants off, fam.
it
It's been 3 weeks. Get them rants off.
has, but I call Luka the LeBron James of losers. And people got upset. I don't know. I didn't look back at the tweet. I literally made the tweet and I muted it. I still to this day, it's been what close to a month. I don't know since I made that tweet. I have not gone back to it. Because I don't really care about what people have to say. I said I wasn't elaborating and I meant it. But the reason why I said that is because there are certain things from him that has been constant throughout his entire career that I'm not seeing get any better. There are certain things that I've seen from him that has gotten better. That I have said, like, okay, there are certain questions that I feel like he has answered this year. I've said it multiple times and I'm not walking that back because it's true. Like, you know, especially when people try to hang on to his offense. Oh my God, he needs to share the ball, but that's not really been an issue for me. Like on a whole, like yes, there's some positions where it's like, damn, Luka, move the ball, like you know, or whatever, whatever. But that on a like in a vacuum, that has not been a problem to me. And anyone saying it's especially when Kyrie's out and people are trying to use his usage rate. Oh, he has Kyrie and he still has usage. This that or blah. Stop that. Stop that. Because when they both play, you know, and I'm watching the games, offense is not really an issue to me.
No, not at all.
So that a lot of questions right there have been answered for me, especially as of late. I saw one possession that it was quite literally one singular possession, and I'm like, please go to it more. Like, do some of those things consistently, and you could build reps with it and get more comfortable doing it. But it was literally a pick and roll. But Luka was the screener, and he literally set a screen and rolled to the rim. Like he rolled to the rim. I think he. Who was the ball handler? I want to say Exum was the ball handler, and literally got it to him and on the short roll, and Luka rolled, caught it on the short roll, and I think he kicked it out. Granted, I think we missed a shot. But I was like, do more of that, please. You know, like he's been doing a lot of that acting as a screener. So I'm not, a lot of my questions have been answered there. I'm talking defensively. And every time I bring up defense, everybody's talking, oh, you're a casual if you think he's a bad defender. You're a, b shut up, please. Like,
Nah,
respectfully.
it's that fucking headshot plot with that stat D LeBron,
Bro.
where that, and I hate that from, because no one knows what that stat is.
Well,
You
I
ask
look.
anybody to articulate what the fuck that stat says, and no one could do it. I guarantee you, no one that quote tweets it. See, this is proof Luka is a good defender. No one knows what that stat actually means, but people hype that shit up as if he locking people up. He's still not a good defender. He's just not catastrophic like he used to be, in my opinion.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. At certain points, he can get catastrophic. That's why I
Yeah.
was getting so angry during that losing streak, because it was like people are saying, oh, you're getting on Luka like he's the main reason why we're losing. But hello, during that streak, we lost games because of what? Our defense. He was one of the main culprits. Not saying he's the big problem, but he was contributing to us losing games. I don't give a damn about that triple double streak. I don't care.
Me
I
either,
don't care.
at all.
He was one of the reasons why we were losing games during that stretch, and we were losing it on defense. So please, 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 please. I'm not listening to it anymore. Here's the thing, that D LeBron, like you said, all that, a lot of his defensive numbers get boosted because of his rebounds. A lot of these metrics take defensive rebounds into consideration. And hello, Luka gets a ton of defensive rebounds a game. Like most of his rebounds are defensive rebounds. So, that is why some of his defensive stats look good. If you were wondering, guys, I'm telling you, like for a fact, a lot of these metrics use defensive reboundings, and a lot of these defensive metrics. So let's start there. Two, what he improved on defense is his one-on-one isolation defense. Credit to him. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're trying to if teams are trying the typical mismatch hunt where you're doing a screen trying to get him in the action for an isolation, he has gotten better on that. Kudos to him. Post defense has always been solid. What I am trying to see improvement on, constant improvement on, is his off-ball defense. And not just off-ball defense, because he does play the passing lanes well. That has been, you know, improved upon, I think, over the last 2 seasons, which is great. But the good teams, you know what they're now doing? The tape has been out. You know what the good teams do? They scout him off the ball. They scout him off the ball. They run actions to get him in off-ball actions to get clean looks out of him. In that Pacers game, and
Pacers?
I think it was the first, was it the first? I think it was the second Pacers game, not the first one. The first Pacers game, I wasn't too upset at. That was like, okay, whatever. But both, actually both games, but the second one in particular, it was like they ran off 10 straight off Luka, bro. Literally off him. It was like his guy, his man, whoever he was guarding, knew to crash the offensive glass. And that's been a theme over like that. Remember that one Lakers game we played, was it 2 seasons ago, where people thought Jared Vanderbilt was like the best role player in the league because he
Oh,
got 17 off Luka? He got 17 off putbacks just jumping over Luka.
the big football playing dude to play for the Suns too. What was that? What was
It's
his?
Rain Wainwright.
There we go.
We scored. Yeah, was closing us out in the fourth. Just splashing threes because he just would not close on. Granted, I know that's the game plan right there, like in that situation. But I'm talking like teams that are like running his guy. Like his guy is off the ball. His guy's not involved in any on-ball action. And they're just running screens for his guy. And he's just lost. His guy's getting open. Max Strus. What's up? Max Strus lit us up.
That was the one I was gonna mention, because everybody was setting Tim on fire for that.
Bro,
I'm like,
it
hey
was
bro,
both of them. It
they
was
were
Tim and
equally
Luka, bro.
responsible for that. They were
Yes.
equally responsible
And
for
you know
that.
what the problem is with Tim and Luka? They both do it. The issue is they don't even attempt to get around the screen. So it's an automatic switch. They don't even care. They don't care. It's an automatic switch, and they don't communicate with the other guy. So no one knows they're switching. It was like the Pacers game when they were in Dallas. I think they were playing in Dallas. And I think it was Kyrie and Luka defending the ball screen. Kyrie and Luka defending the ball screen. I think they were defending against, mind you, Kyrie was guarding Tyrese. I'm sorry, I'm getting heated because I can see the play like right in my brain. But Kyrie was guarding Tyrese. Luka was guarding Miles Turner. So they were defending that pick and roll. Luka automatically switched because again, he's not trying. He just steps up. Kyrie was trying to fight over the screen, but Luka just stepped up. Luka just was like, you know what? I'll just step up. And what happened? I think what happened? Miles. Now Miles is on Kyrie. Now or Kyrie's on Miles, I should say. So now that's a huge mismatch both ways, actually, because Luka guarding Tyrese, that's a mismatch. I forgot how that play ended. I think it might have ended in like a Miles bucket right over Kyrie, because that again, that's a mismatch. So I think just with our schemes and how they defend, they just switch. It was a miscommunication, so Kyrie didn't even know where he was trying to go. So they don't help their teammates. But like Luka and Tim, they don't help their teammates on defense. But here's the issue. Tim, if he's fucking up, what can you do to Tim? Bench him. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you can bench Tim. You're not benching Luka. For good reason, of course. He's our offense. But if you're going to, he's a guy, especially in playoffs, you're playing him 40 minutes, close to 40 minutes, north of 40 minutes. You cannot be a leak on defense. You just can't be a leak. And off the ball, good teams are exploiting him. They're exploiting him. You see, they're running their man. They're like just off the ball, like they're exploiting him. And I'm like, you need to participate. You need to like, we need to. And this is a thing where it's not all on Luka, which is why prior to the last pod that we recorded in our release, I was saying that I had like coaching was preventing me from, really seeing things clearly. And I think that also rings true here because I feel like defensively, we need to find a scheme that Luka can excel in, that we can use consistently. Like it can be our system on defense and one that he can excel in. Like similar to what the Nuggets did with Jokic, where they found a scheme, like after years of him just getting his face burned off, in that deep drop. And they could this defensive scheme that they're doing now, I'll explain in a bit. They never could really do it in the past because they didn't have the personnel and all that, but they again found a scheme they can excel in, got the personnel to execute it, and they're good. Defensively, where they can rely on having a I think this year, I think last season they were like what, 11, 12, at least in the regular season. This year I think they're like seven or so defensive, and then in the playoffs last year they turned it up really on defense.
No,
So
they and one of the reasons why I didn't believe in them, I want to say they were like in the 20s until right after the All-Star break, and from the All-Star break until the end of the regular season, it was like top 10, and then they turned it up even more in the playoffs.
yeah, so my point there is that I wish we could get a system or a scheme that Luka can excel in and just execute it, like just do it. Because Jokic, what they do with him, instead, like I said, for years he played in that deep drop, got his face burned off. They couldn't do what they're doing now, which is playing at the level, because they just didn't have the defensive guys to pull that off. Now they do. You know what I'm saying? They play Jokic at the level, and he still serves as an anchor. But they do it in a unique way where he can excel, where it's like they play him at the level. He has quick hands, he's using his hands. Aaron is helping out. Aaron obviously is so big. And he's not at that point of attack. Exactly why I'm stressing the PJ thing. I'm not saying that they're totally the same defensively, but they're similar in defensive roles.
Yeah.
PJ's not some sort of point of attack guy where he's primarily guarding at a point of attack. Aaron Gordon, where he's positioned in the Denver defense, he can help out Jokic. He can tag rollers when Jokic is helping at the level, because Aaron is such a hefty, big hefty guy. He has no problem tagging on rollers. Right now, who's our low man tagging on rollers? It's Luka. Like, that's the issue. So I'm like, a low man, where they have him schemed in the defense now, he's schemed as a low man. A low man has a very important role in your defense. So it's not like so if you're playing, if you're committing to this Luka as a low man thing, He gotta be solid at that, and to me, he's not really solid at that. Luka, at certain points, especially when he's not exerting effort, he exhibits little to no resistance as the low man. So I just feel like, and I remember, I think it was Nekias. This might have been 2 years ago at this point now. It was a little bit ago. He was asking, I think he just asked a question to the timeout. He was like, "What's the best defensive scheme that you could play with Luka?" And I don't remember what the replies were saying. I think there were like a lot of people saying a lot of different things. But I think Nekias, what he settled on was like hedge and recover. When was the last time you saw us do any sort of hedge and recover with Luka in the Jason Kidd era? I don't think we ever tried that. Hedge and recover with him.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to think, and I'm thinking about it. That could be, I know the Warriors do with Steph. Our entire series, if you don't remember, against the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, was them. They played hedge and recover with Steph, which is why we could not hunt Steph because every time, Luka, Brunson, anybody tried to hunt, Steph, hedge and recover. If you don't know what that is, that's instead of switching, you're acting like you're switching, so you're hedging, but you're really recovering, back to your guy. You're just giving the defender time. You're giving your teammate time to catch up, essentially, without actually switching. So yeah, we don't try that with him. But my thing is, they're trying. I mean, they do the like right now, I'm like, what schemes do they even really run? Like they double the ball, blitz the ball handler. If it's like we're playing, a superstar type guy, and then rotate behind that. Like then that's really your, we'll throw in some zones in there. And that's really it. And granted, not to say we have defenders where we can play all these complex schemes, because to me, I don't see a defender that we have that's like extremely super high Q, like a, you know what I'm saying? Like I don't think Lively's there yet, and I don't think Lively is that for example, like the Warriors. They could play like all these complex defensive schemes, like triangle and two, and all these different like 2-2 zones, all these, especially Miami too. They play a lot of 3-2 zone and all those different defensives because they got people with IQ to pull it off. Like both the like all on the court. So I don't think we have those type of players to get that complex. But I feel like we need to find a system that he can excel in so we can be consistent. Because at this point, we know, like, as much as we say we want more creative offense, blah, blah, we know what the offense is largely going to be. And at this point, or shot diet kind of changing, I'm okay with where things are headed. You know what I'm saying? Defensively, things are still a bit inconsistent. And I believe not having a system in place there, like a consistent system in place there, is a part of the issue. Because here's the thing, defense is something that has to be flexible. You know what I'm saying? You can't play the same team, the same way. So it's not, I'm not trying to say that we need to play the same scheme on every single team, because we've seen coaches pull that off in the past and they get burned, like Bud. Bud would not give up that drop. Like no matter what, Bud would just not give up that drop. And it worked out sometimes for him, sometimes it did not, where he would not give up a scheme, all that. But I think just being flexible but also having something that you could kind of tip your cap to, or have something that you could fall back on if things go haywire, I think that's also important. So I guess to wrap this all up, I would like to say that I meant what I said about the LeBron James of losers, and I know it sounded harsh, but at the same time, it's not as bad as you think. Because what I meant by that is that he's the best loser I've ever seen. In that he's shit competitive as hell. He does not want to lose. I'm not trying to say he wants to lose. He wants to win the games, but it's like he's not realizing that some of the things he does is contributing to losing games.
I'm gonna name the pod. I think that's the episode name for this pod, for clickbait engagement. I've made my mind up for that. We gonna name this the best loser of all time.
No, but I'm not even trying. Like, here's the thing, Luka gets a lot of grace from me, right? He is a part of, I always say, oh, if you're on a team for 5+ years, you get a certain level of grace, blah, blah. That also, applies to Luka. He gets a lot of grace from me in that I've said it on this pod before. I'm not lying. There are certain things that he goes against, like in my, little basketball beliefs, basketball philosophies. There are certain things he does that directly go against what I believe in. However, I ignore it simply because he was drafted by my favorite team. I've watched his entire NBA career. Like I'm, endeared to him. Like I love Luka at the end of the day. But at the same time, there's just certain things I'm like, please. Like there's certain words like you have to take the good and the bad, but there's certain things where it's like the bad can't be untenable. And certain things he does to me, I think it's untenable. And I feel like I don't want to say this because I don't want to feel like I'm calling anybody out or anything like that, but I feel like some of these people that review the tape, you ignore certain things too. You ignore it because if I see it, I know other people see it. And it's funny because when I made that tweet and all that, the amount of people that DM me saying that I agree or I this that, and we talked in the DMs, it's fine. I'm not exposing anybody. I will fall on the sword. But I'm just saying we all see certain things, but we choose to ignore it. Let's just
Okay,
keep it a
okay,
buck.
okay, okay. We have talked numerous times since you made that tweet. I didn't agree with you on that tweet. And I was waiting for us to depart. And, like, to be honest, one of the quality control issues with the last episode, I don't feel like we were in a position to properly articulate our opinions on that tweet. That's why I don't even remember if we got brought up. Actually, I know it didn't get brought up. I disagree with you, sir. I disagree with you on that tweet. And the reason why I disagree with you, to me, when I hear greatest loser of all time, I think like big Trae Young. I feel like I don't know if you put that on the timeline, but I know we've had that conversation before. To where like Trae Young puts up stats, but I don't think Trae Young is a winning player. And I don't want to call Luka a rich man's Trae Young. Yet. And the reason why I feel that way. All right, I'm about to let me say, this is only year six. He just turned 25. And I'm not willing to put that smut on his name just yet. That's where I disagree with you. I disagree with making that definitive statement right now at this phase of his career.
Here's the
Now,
thing.
now
Oh,
what?
sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
But I agree with you in that, and I don't want to give up on him yet, but I'm not seeing, I mean, I don't want to say I'm not seeing strides towards him being better because there's certain things I'm seeing, like, he's getting frustrated if he gets beat on defense recently, and those are signs to me. But all in all, I can't say that it's on the up and up. I can't, which is where I'm at the crossroads right now.
Yeah, and I hear you, but this is where being old head comes into play. Like I just listen, man. I went through the battles with Dirk, and I think I texted you this, like, bro, I was trying to trade Dirk in 2007. Like I'm admitting that I already had the package. It was Elton Brand and Corey Maggette for Dirk straight up. To me, like I if Dirk Nowitzki, if what happened to the Mavs in 2007 happened in his Twitter age, he'd be written off. And I don't know if he's a social media guy, but if he was a social media guy, I think it would have impacted his. I mean, he literally had to go to another country and just escape. I can only imagine what would happen in the social media if those things happen in this era. It'd be hard to come back. And he did. He came back. He just got in the lab and he got better, right? And he overcame it. And that's why, and there's lots of players, to be honest with you. It's kind of like, as Kirk uses likes to say all the time, it's part of the hero's journey to be said you can only be one thing and then to overcome it and win. And I've seen enough from Luka. Like, there's so many things that I didn't like from Luka over the years that I've seen him incrementally get better at. So I'm just not willing to write him off on that yet. That's why I don't feel comfortable giving him the LeBron James of losers critique just yet. With that being said, Where I do agree with you to an extent, and this is like my biggest issue with like the MVP conversation and like how good the team is. At some fucking point, if he's so great, we shouldn't be in the play-in and we need to be winning playoff series. Like a great player, an all-time great player, having a quote-unquote all-time great season with the roster that we have. Our roster does not stink. These boys don't stink. I ain't saying they're the best roster in the NBA, but he got shit around him. At some point, if he's so good and these guys are so good, bad coach or not, we should be winning a lot of games and we should be winning a playoff series. And coming off a season where we were a lottery team, and as of this very moment, at the time of this recording, I know it's basically a three-way tie for six at this point. But at the time of this recording, we are in the AC. Some shit gotta give. And everything we need to do to get out the ACL, we can make a decent run at the fifth seed. To me, is right there on the table. And if he's that fucking great, those are things we should be doing. So I don't want to call him a loser. But on the other hand, when people get to how great he is, like, bro, the team should be better. We should win more games if he's this fucking great. And some of the excuses that get made for the injuries and things of that nature, like, hey, bro, you get to apply that shit to other people too. Like, Chris Middleton been a shell of himself and done fucking missed games for Milwaukee, and they still open. And you look at it, especially when people compare like the MVP seasons of Jokic and fucking Westbrook when they were the sixth seed. Like, bro, the second leading scorer for those teams scored less points than fucking Tim Hardaway Jr., who everyone is trying to set on fire and literally want him benched. Like, we can cut the shit. When it comes to the comparison, I know Kyrie has missed like 20 some odd games, but I don't know, 55 games of Kyrie is destroying any fucking thing that Westbrook and Jokic had when they won MVP as a sixth seed, like destroying it. Fuck, I'd argue PJ fucking Washington is probably comparable to anything they had and anything they had those years. So, I just disagree with you calling him a big loser, but at the same time, I do think the glaze gets put on him for impact and winning before he's actually impact the winning. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And here's the thing. This is where me being a fan comes in that I'm still holding on. Like, despite what I say of, oh, I'm over this, da da da, I'm still holding on because at the end of the day, he's still at the helm of my favorite team. And I would like to see, and I even just personally, I would like to see him overcome certain things. But I think it has to come from a position of self-awareness, which is why I'm not going for all this, oh, it's not his fault. He's at the this, he's not that, like, at a certain point, like you're saying, like to get better and like to overcome certain things, you have to fail. You know what I'm saying? I acknowledge that you fail. And I think on certain things, he has to acknowledge, okay, I did not do a great job here. I need to do better. Like, cut all the shit about triple doubles because a piece of it is that he overcompensates. And I kind of want to explain that point a bit. So after this break, I'll explain that point.
And what I want to do is something I guess I would discuss is like the whole, like you said, I'm still a fan and I'm not giving up, but I at least need to see it first. Can we actually get the results before we make the claims? And that goes for not just. All right, and I guess to kind of I guess we can use this as a segue. And I'll let you explain the point you were making before the break and kind of, I guess, elaborate on my point is, there was a, I think Mavs Film Room had a tweet asking what you would rate Nico Harrison, right? And it happened in our group chat. It happened on the timeline. There were multiple people that's like, he deserves a B plus. I don't know what more he could have did since he's been here. I think that's bullshit, first off, because however you feel about Jalen Brunson and that situation, my stance the entire time, even before Jalen Brunson broke out, is you probably should have paid him that 13 million a year to be a backup, even though he was bad in the playoffs. I felt that way when it happened. I felt that way that summer. I felt that way before he was a starter, when he was just a backup. I felt that way. And the reason why I felt that way is if you look at just what a high-end six man was, that was what he was objectively. You can have an opinion one way or another about that. I don't really see how you can't say he wasn't maybe the best backup point guard in the NBA at that point. And I don't think paying him that amount of money, given basically the age on the team, the age of the team, there were literally that summer, there were only two players on the entire roster that were younger than 25 that were objectively good NBA players. It was Luka and Jalen Brunson. So paying him that money that summer of 21, the summer Nico came in, even before he did anything that year, before he broke out, before the playoffs, to me, even if the plan was to fucking trade him, even if you didn't believe in him, you should have gave him that money just to secure the asset at that price. That's like league average salary now. So that's why I think it's horseshit to just say that wasn't his fault or blame Donnie Nelson for that. That just means you're being emotional about how he performed in that playoffs without acknowledging what he was as a basketball player. That's A. B, bro, Nico has signed a lot of, have made a lot of bad transactions that had nothing to do with Donnie Nelson. JaVale McGee, you can make the argument, Grant Williams, you could, there's a lot of things that are under, that are of his fucking, that he had to clean up, that he caused the mess. So I don't see how you can say, well, he did what he could do. No, he didn't. There was other things he could have done that he just didn't do. So I don't think he's like alleviated of all blame. And I just, it don't make sense to me talking about he didn't have any assets. Like, we've traded, that man's traded fucking four first round picks in the last, what, 14 months? Like, there was shit.
We've sent out a lot of picks.
He had shit to send out, and he sent that shit out. God bless him. And that's, I mean, that shit didn't fall from the sky. That was assets he had that he used. And salute to him. I don't know if people are mad because we don't have OKC level of assets or Utah Jazz, but to do that, you'd have to fucking stink. And y'all didn't want to stink. I didn't want to stink. So it is what it is. And to summarize it, like, I like the team. I like the roster that we have now. But Pete, giving him credit for Derek Lively, like, bro, Derek, we had to stink for that to happen. That's like giving the Pistons general manager credit, or fucking giving OKC's general manager credit for getting Chet, or giving the Pistons general manager or the Rockets general manager credit for drafting one of them Thompson twins. Like, bro, those dudes were good, and you stalked, so you drafted the talent. Like, what the fuck are we talking about? I love Derek Lively. I think he is a great player. I think he's future defensive player of the year and all that good shit. But he was a high lottery pick at a position where people don't draft that position that often. It's like drafting an offensive guard really high in the NFL. Like, dudes ain't really drafting defensive centers super high in the NFL, NBA nowadays. So I'm not giving him like super credit for him. And I love Omax. I love Omax to death. I'm so happy. I thought Omax would be starting by now. I thought he was gonna run Josh Green's spot. I'm not gonna hold you, but it ain't
Yeah,
happening.
I need Dalton to run that shit back.
Oh, wow.
But I remember that. Don't worry. I'm gonna have a conversation with him.
Okay, so I thought it would happen, but I didn't. I mean, I don't. We. Hey, don't bring that mess into the pot. We got to keep our arguments in the group chat off
You're
the
right. You're right. You're right.
pot.
You're right.
Stop that. Anyway, what I'm saying is, I love Omax, but Omax ain't did shit in the NBA, bro. And the list of players that have looked good, and I still love Omax, that have looked good in the fucking G League, and that should never translated to actual NBA production as long as hell. Shout out to Luka Garza, who fucking was dominating the G League and is young, and he is not an NBA player, and that's okay. So I just don't see how anybody as of right now can be like, Nico Harrison is a B plus. He's done the best he could do. Like, no, he hasn't. No, fuck, he hasn't. And the thing is, like, it feels like everything that he's done, any positive move the Mavs have made, it was Nico's idea. Any bad move or problem had that the Mavs have done, man, that was Mark Cuban. Like, how the fuck y'all know? Like, not trying to be funny, but we know enough people that would could kind of tell us stuff or hint around it. Like, again, the way the public views the Jalen Brunson contract negotiations as totally being Mark Cuban's fault is just flat out not true. I've heard enough from people that would know, they had no reason to lie, that they just didn't fuck with him like that. Nico or Mark Cuban, nobody. The entire Dallas Mavericks organization never fucked with Jalen Brunson like that at any point, even after the playoffs. Even in the summer, never. They just did not think he was the answer. And that's why they wasn't fucking with him. That's why he plays for the New York Knicks. Y'all can blame his pops. Y'all can blame Leon Rose. I'll be honest, I've done it at times, but I have heard from enough people, including the fucking horse's mouth at this point, that they just didn't fuck with him. Whatever, it is what it is. With all that being said, I do like the roster they have now. But if we stay in the play-in and we get packed up in the first round, I don't want to hear shit about no fucking B pluses. I just don't. To me, at the end of the day, if you're judging a general manager, and this isn't even just sports, this is just life. This is how America works. When you are a high-level decision maker where you have the ability to hire and fire and acquire talent, you do not get to say, man, that shit seemed good at the time, so you can't be mad at me if it didn't work out. That's not how anybody that runs a business or is any high level decision maker or any level of business, literally any level of business from fucking managing a Dairy Queen or a Whataburger to the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks. You don't get to say, man, that shit seemed good at the time. It made sense at the time. It totally blew up in my face, but hey, it made sense at the time. No, you are judged on your objective and measurable results, and that's it. And I've had so many people in my fucking mentions talking about, well, the Tim Hardaway Jr. deal at the time made sense, or you wanted the Grant Williams trade in the moment, so why are you criticizing him now? I'm a fucking fan. Like, that's how GMs get judged. Did the shit work? Yes or no? There's no, well, it made sense at the time. There is no Tim Hardaway Jr. contract made sense at the time. And it did. I was happy he came back for that deal. But did it work out? Would you say we've gotten our value for that deal? Fucking no. Same thing for Maxi Kleber. I thought that was a bad deal at the time, but other people have disagreed. I just don't think that was a good deal. So you don't get to just hand wave it because it made sense at the time. You have to judge the results. And with that being said, if we don't fucking win a playoff series this year, if we are still in the play-in and we go out, especially if it's to any team that is not the Denver Nuggets, hey man, I don't want to hear shit about how great Nico is as a GM when he's had one of the best players in the NBA his entire tenure that he's been here. Said player has objectively got better every single year. Every single year, said player has got better. And the result, he has no results to back it up for 2 straight years. 1 year he was in the lottery, the next year he was a first round out in in the bottom half of the bracket. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. With that being said, to kind of latch on to the point you were making, I'm not giving up. Shit, if we end up as any seed, if we just win a playoff series, and when we go out, we don't get like gentlemen swept or douchebag swept, like we're competitive with a team in the second round, I'll shut my bitch ass up and be like, you know what? We got something here. We're building towards something here. But man, we go out in the first round and we like the seventh or eighth seed. I'm sorry, I still got questions. I'm still doubting shit. But that's my 2 cents. That's my rant for the week.
Yeah, we both got rants in, but I mean, I largely agree with you. I mean, the point I was making was about Luka and overcompensating, right? in that. I feel like some I keep going back to that Pacers game because that's really when things kind of overflowed for me, because like I said, I felt like there was a point, and I think this is the second one, so the one they played in Dallas, there was a point where I think they played in Dallas, I don't remember, but they, like I said, there was a point where it was like 10 straight that came directly off Luka, where it was like either the guy he was supposed to be boxing out got like a putback, or they were hunting him off ball. Like Ben Mathurin in the first matchup, I remember, it was just, again, get Luka to defend a ball screen. It's not even like get him an isolation, it's get Luka to defend a ball screen. He defends it like a drop big. He was going under the screen and Ben Mathurin was just taking the threes, just taking the threes, and he was cooking us. Like, because he defends like a drop big, like a big that, knows he can't defend on the perimeter, so he's giving you as much space. That's why, like, if you look at just shooting numbers, like, I don't know if you guys notice, sometimes you just feels like people just more often than not just make shots over Luka, especially threes. It's because he be giving people space because he's, trying to anticipate the drives, because so he kind of defends like a big. So it's why now I don't push back on people heavily when they're, saying, oh, Luka's not a guard or whatever, whatever. I cut that fight out. I stopped. I switched sides. Yes.
Welcome,
I'm a
welcome,
traitor.
welcome,
I'm a
welcome,
traitor, but I had switched sides. I
welcome.
call him, he's like a point power forward to me.
Thank you.
But I get it. Like, just he can't, like, he defends like a big, bro. Like, that's a drop big. Like, at the end of the day, like, yes, on offense he plays a lot like a, he plays like a point guard, shooting guard, on he plays like a combo guard on offense, and then on defense he's defending like a big. So to me, he's a point forward. He is a point forward at the end of the day. So you have to, it's a little hard to scheme that, like, defensively, in my opinion, because like I said, if you're def scheming him as a low man, that's an important role. That's not just like, it's not just hide in the corner. It's why when when you hide your stars in the corner, that's not really a sound defensive strategy. You know what I'm saying? Like one might think, because that's how you get Trae Young as the last, resistance on defense. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you get those type of situations. Now Trae Young gotta, step in and provide some sort of rim help to somebody that, beat your point of attack defender and now is coming down the lane. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think my point there is that defensively, a lot goes into like certain things, and Luka's sometimes he can see when he's not performing. Because there was one, I think, after like one of the buckets that he gave up, he was like, you kind of saw him, like, he turned to the bench, he turned to the Mavs bench, and almost kind of put his hand up because he's like, yeah, that's on me, I got, smoked. And he came down the other end and he was, was looking to score, was not looking to pass, he was looking to get the points back. And that could be good, but again, like, sometimes that creates for this overcompensation at the end of the game. It's like, oh, he got a triple double, 39 points, but it's like, you, not that you were gunning for the stats, but you're trying to make up for the defense on offense. But at a certain point, you have to stop your opponent from scoring at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, the game's about a bucket, but you have to stop the, if the other team is going to keep scoring, if their defense is a little more consistent than yours, you're not going to win the game. You know what I'm saying? So that's my whole point of Luka, like, eventually he's going to have to look into himself and not go in front of on JJ's pod and say, yeah, I got better at defense, everyone needs to be talking about it. No, get real. Like, yes, you improved in certain areas, but at the end of the day, most of your possessions, you are not, it's not like you're defending ISOs all game long. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're going to be a post defender all game long.
That's why, like, I didn't even want to be that guy, because I don't we I don't know. I know they view you as a Luka hater. You boy, they hate your ass when it comes to Luka. I don't
Bro,
think
they, I love it too. I love it.
I
I
know you
love
do,
it.
but I don't want to seem like the only time I talk about that young man is when we hate on him. But bro, those isolation defense stats in the fucking post defense stats. People, there's a dude who's a fucking asshole. I had him muted, but I just went ahead and blocked him. Is it Man of the Year? Is that it? Anyway,
I wouldn't know.
That motherfucker said, "This is why Luka's stats, you can't compare him to James Harden. He's never played defense like this." Dog, do you remember, like, those two stats are the only good defensive stats James Harden had. It's actually uncanny how
Bro, James Harden
similar
and Luka are so similar. People
is
that don't want to accept it, accept it, bro.
it
Y'all
was
are
so
wrong.
funny.
Y'all are wrong.
I saw that tweet on my timeline, and then I went and I looked, I was like, dog, James Harden was an elite post defender.
Always has been elite post defender. A good because he was a good guard shot blocker. James Harden was a good. James Harden could block shots for a guard. Look it up.
The stats were so similar in James Harden physical prime. And I even remember because this is back when I
I
gambled.
remember too. That's when I really locked in around that era, 2014-ish around there was when I really like locked in.
Dog,
Ooh, I remember.
when they played the Timberwolves in the playoffs, like, I bet on the fucking Timberwolves. I bet on them. I was like, the Timberwolves, James Harden, the whole, they gonna pack him up.
And he
We're
was Garn
all
Cat, wasn't he?
locking him the
Garn
fuck
Cat, wasn't
up.
he? Yup, I
Locking
remember.
him the
I remember.
fuck up. And I just remember watching
I
it like,
remember.
Cat, how can you not score on this nigga? He's
I
a guard.
remember Clint and Harden had Cat in hell.
How is he pushing you off your spot over and over and over? How is this a thing? I ain't been fucking with Cat ever since. He lost me money. I've been out on Cat ever since then. But
No,
I remember
I
that.
remember
I
that. I
remember
remember
that.
that.
And the fucking nerds that support it too. And I just wish Luka groupies, like, the thing that bothers me is, like, there's plenty of evidence. There's plenty of good play from Luka to where you could use to make the case for why he's this and why he's that. But then y'all go and pull shit out y'all ass where it's like, why'd you bring that up? Because, like, anybody that knows or is actually tapped into basketball and not just a Luka groupie knows, like, hey, bro, those are two things Harden was good at, like,
Yeah,
in his
the thing
prime.
is, Harden and Luka are similar. Y'all just don't want to hear because Harden has such a bad reputation. But they're similar. It's just that Luka scores more in like different areas of the court. Luka scores more all over the court than Harden did. Harden had like his spots. You know what I'm saying? Like Harden's shot profile wasn't as diverse as Luka's, and I think that's related
You
to the
know what?
playoffs.
Even bef well before Mike D'Antoni, when it was fucking Kevin McHale, there was more variety to the way Harden
Yeah, there
scored.
was more. No,
There
Harden. No,
was
D'Antoni. I think D'Antoni ruined his game.
before D'Antoni came into his life, he scored on the mid-range. He scored off post-ups, like OKC and before and under Kevin McHale in Houston. Like, that is some the layups and threes and foul grifting is a fucking Daryl Morey slash Mike D'Antoni thing.
Yeah, and he just got conditioned to play like that. But yeah, there's so like y'all need to drop it. And then y'all said, well, Luka performs in the playoffs. Well, yes, like I said, and I think part of it is tied to the, more diverse scoring. But other than that, they're similar, bro. Like, of course, Luka is Luka. And I'm not, it's not like we're saying it's a carbon copy, like just a clone. No, but they're similar, bro. Y'all gotta get over it. They're like, I don't know how much more evidence y'all want.
And
They're so similar.
I think Luka's a better playoff performer than Harden,
Yeah,
but there's no,
that's the fact.
but I'm gonna go ahead and say it, and I don't care who gets offended. There's no fucking way Harden doesn't make the playoffs last year at the peak of his powers.
I agree. Harden,
He was
yeah,
a
I can
regular
agree.
season floor raising tank.
And that's a part of my thing where I remember one of the critiques is like, oh, y'all want Luka playing game seven defense in March. When have we had dominant regular seasons where we can talk about saving for playoffs? Why do we care about games in March? When we've had 150 win season in the Luka era, and even that season, it wasn't like a smooth sailing the whole season. We stunk until we were just, it was like we were bad, and then we
We
were
were
like
mid. We
super
weren't
good.
we weren't bad. We were
Okay, we
never
were mid.
bad
We were mediocre.
that
Okay, we were
entire
very
year.
mediocre.
We
Yeah,
were
we were like
mid.
500. We were like 500, and then we played like a contender. Literally played like a contender. So it wasn't like it was just a smooth sailing for the whole time, is my point. So we've had, and then ever since then, we've finished what? That other season where we were the what fake was it the fake fifth seed season?
You keep saying that, but that them boys won on a 48 win pace, okay?
Oh my God, 48 wins. My point is talking about dominant regular season and you coming up with 48 wins. Come on, Dwight, don't. My point, like, the point I'm making is that we haven't had some crazy regular season. You telling me about 48
I'm
wins.
hitting you
You
with
see what I'm
48
saying? Your mind
wins.
is conditioned. You're in the mud too. We all in the mud. This is my point. How you go from expecting 50 wins with Dirk to talking about some 48 wins makes you happy. Come on, Dwight.
I mean, to keep it 100 with you, the fucking you right, you right, you right, you right.
But that's my whole point. The fact that we're 48 wins, we're supposed to be just happy with. No, we're used to different things. And I think that that's one of a part of the step, in terms of like you're saying, if you're building greatness, you can't make premature claims because that's why people push back so heavily. And that's why a lot of people want to see him fail, because I feel like certain premature claims have been placed with him. And I've always said that just because you see someone getting like too much, quote unquote, too much love, you sending out all the hate, that's not balancing things out. It's just adding on top of shit. And I still believe that. But at the same time, we have to start putting together, like, if we're talking, greatness and this, that, and the third, and people get so offended, like, especially when I tweet something like, oh, Wemby's gonna be, best player in like 2 years. Some Mavs fans get so offended. It's like, oh, well, Luka, this. Listen, it's not like.
We the AFC, bro. I don't want to hear about that shit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at a certain point, we have to start getting down. Like, yo, bro, at this point, like, Jokic, when he got like Jamal Murray with him, like, just them two playing, that's like they are a top three seed, but they've been a top three seed. Like, I'm talking like if they don't have crazy injuries, Denver has been top three since like what, 2018? It's been five. Giannis, bro. Giannis don't win less than 50 games. Like, it's been like seven straight seasons of like 50, you know what I'm saying? Certain players, they have a standard. And like your point about James Harden. I remember a year where James Harden had a shit ton of injuries and won like 60
Yes,
games, bro. His players were injured as
the year
fuck.
they won that 60, they were mostly healthy, but that next year,
Or the or 50 something or whatever, yeah.
they were the fucking third seed in the conference, and like Chris Paul played like 39 games, and when he did play, he was a shell of himself, and the second leading
Exactly.
scorer was fucking
Was it Eric Gordon or something like that?
it was Aaron Gordon, and he basically had Tim Hardaway Jr.'s fucking stats.
Number, exactly, like 18. That's what I'm saying. So
And
that's what
it's
I'm
like,
saying.
bro, th this is where y'all lose me with this. He deserves MVP. There's this conspiracy against him winning MVP. And I just, it bothers me. And I hate because we keep talking about it. But like, fam, there's no conspiracy for Luka to win MVP. Like, you, that fucking NBA ladder that I despise, lo and fucking behold, the highest we've been in the seedings was sixth, the highest we've been in months. And that's the. It literally corresponded with the highest Luka's been in that fucking MVP ladder in months. And I, it just like, bro, it's gonna come. Luka will win an MVP. I gotta be honest with you.
I think he might win it next year.
If we are just a
If
top, if we are a top four seed, which I think we will be, and especially if we are like top two or three, bro, he's winning it even if someone else has the season he's having this year. But they're like the seventh or eighth seed. They would give it. They are the league wants to give Luka an MVP. I don't think there's this conspiracy against hating against him. I don't think it's real. I just think a lot of stans don't understand. Like, bro, other players have had good seasons, and
Yeah, they're waiting for him. They're waiting for him to get that top three seed. We haven't had that. Like, how are you getting? Like, that's what I'm saying. You can't get mad or hate the media or people that vote for it for not wanting to reward a 7 AC, bro. Y'all can't get mad at
And
it.
then the comparison, let's just be real, bro. Like, no one with hindsight, no one is happy Russ won MVP that year.
Bro, it's I'm
No,
so mad it happened.
with hindsight, no one is like he was a valid MVP winner. That's why Luka ain't getting it. You low key could be mad at Russell Westbrook. No one wants to give MVP to somebody, even Jokic. Even though with hindsight, like, bro, that team fucking stunk. That team was so bad that he got to the sixth seed. I've said it before and I'll repeat it again. Like, if you take this year's Dallas Mavericks, pre-trade, post-trade, whatever, and you took Luka, Westbrook, and Jokic off all those teams, The Dallas Mavericks would blow both of those teams out without the best players. Like they're just better. They just have better players. Full stop. Even like Tim Hardaway Jr. would be the leading scorer in any of those games, and it wouldn't even be crazy. It's I just don't think I just don't think Luka. I don't think it's insane for Luka to not win MVP this year. I don't think he has a super good case for it.
He
With
doesn't, but it's coming, bro. I think
but we got 12 games left. The boys sneak into the fourth or fifth seed, and Jokic is like the third seed.
that's not gonna happen, though, bro.
I don't think
Jokic.
it's gonna happen. I'm just presenting a possible outcome. I would then change my tune. Like if they only a couple games higher than us, and we get the fourth, fifth seed, and then the fucking Nuggets. But
We've
then
been saying
again,
this for months, though. Like this exact same thing. Bro,
I know, I know, I know, I know.
if he's this, if he gets
If
this, if
I
we've been,
know,
and
I
now we up
know.
to 12 games and we still doing the ifs, bro. It's over. No, I'm not even trying to be a hater. That sounded crazy like a hater. No, but dead ass, bro. We've been
I
like
know.
genuinely doing this if thing
But I
since
look,
January, bro.
here's the, I actually do think I think we're going 8-4, and I think we're gonna win 49 games.
Oh, that's crazy because I said 49 too. I didn't like express it yet. I was saving
I
it for
actually
T, but
think
I
we're
was
gonna
gonna
win
say
49
49.
games. I think we're
Yeah,
gonna
I'm
win
at 40.
49,
Ooh.
and I think that's the floor, right? Like if they actually pulled off 11-2, I'm sorry, 10-2. And 151 games, like I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't even know where that would put us in the standings, but
Fifty-one games, I would say.
to me that's
Puts us at five or six, maybe five, but I think New Orleans is going to. I'm thinking of it as one of my mutuals. I've been thinking about it like that too, and I'm like, ooh, it's a New Orleans fan. He was looking at it as 50 games. He thinks to get the fifth seed, you got to get 50 games, and I think that's a good barometer because I think New Orleans is actually a kind of close to 50. Cutting the Clippers too. I mean, even though they just lost, but
Oh my God, the Clippers low key. This gets
they're.
spooky.
They're getting passed by the if I know
It's
the I know the
getting spooky.
Pelicans have a tough stretch right now. They're going on a they're like on a tough stretch right now.
It's
But
getting
if the
spooky for
Pelicans
the
can
Clippers.
weather this stretch, I think it's a stretch of maybe like four or so games that is kind of tough for them. I think if they can weather this stretch, I don't know, man.
It's
Like
getting
people,
spooky for the Clips, boy.
it's getting spooky. And then that's my issue with the whole. This goes back to my regular season point. The Clippers, everybody talking about, oh, built for the playoff. Y'all been saying that for dumb
Which,
long. What regular
bro,
season success has the Clippers like Grant like you know really really had what the first year they were together they were like what a top two seed, top two seed,
I don't want to hear shit about the
and
Nuggets.
then since then they've
I'm
been
so
like
tired of them.
right they've been barely getting you know home court
I'd
advantage in
rather gas
Toronto
us up
barely like
before I
come on.
gas up the Clippers. At this point, I'm gassing us up over the Clippers.
I said the Pelicans were gonna win that first round matchup because to th at this point, I know we can maybe sneak in to fifth, and it's still a possibility. I think the Clippers are either facing us or the Pelicans. I truly believe
I
that. I
think they're
don't
going
think
home first round, and that man is going to have to make some hard decisions.
Paul George not coming back. I think Paul George is going to Philly, bro. Okay, here's the thing. I think he wants that. I think their goal is because here's the thing. They the reason why I don't think this decision is gonna be as tough for them. Because of that new arena. If they didn't have that arena coming in, I think it would have been super tough. Like, okay, what are we doing? They're not going into that arena without their stars, bro.
No,
Especially
they
with
not.
PG
They
modeling stuff hard. They're gonna, I think they're
I
gonna
don't
work
think
something
PG. I
out.
don't think PG really want to leave. Like he's from
I
there,
don't think so either. That's why I'm saying I genuinely
but
believe
I
they
don't
all
think
want to
that. But I
stay.
do. But I do think they like kind of like playing with his money a little bit.
They are playing with his money. I know for a fact they're playing with his money. And I could tell, I could, here's the thing, I could understand him feeling some type of way because they gave Kawhi his max, no problems. But it's Kawhi. Yes, he's
Well,
had his
no,
injury
low key,
stuff.
they didn't. He did
But I
not.
know he had, it was a
He
little
didn't.
bump down because they wanted to, you know, to keep flexibility and stuff. But I think they're trying to play with, like, it's not no little bump down for Paul George. I think they're really trying to get
They're
him.
trying to hit him with that Kyrie contract, and he like,
Kyrie Con, yeah, because Harden at this
hold
point
on,
understands that he in the 30 mil. You know, he in the 30 mil range. He understand that he not get touching 40 mil a year, like AAV a year. AAV anymore. Like, he understands that. So it's just PG. They gotta start conditioning to understand that he's not a he not seen no 50 M's like what he might have thought. He not seen that. So yeah, I'm just ooh, Minnesota making a run. I'm tapped in because that's another. This is another storyline that was that we haven't really touched on is that we thought the 10 in the West was like locked up, but Houston is coming.
Dog.
Jalen Green walking niggas down. I don't know. I'm sorry, that slipped
Man,
out. But that slipped out. I'm not gonna lie. You gotta
it
tell
came out that he got old girl pregnant, and he
me.
has been setting the league on fire ever since.
As
Shout out to
always,
him. Shout out to him.
always happens. But yeah, no. So I'm looking at Golden State right now. They play in Minnesota. Minnesota only down two right now, but yeah, Golden State don't got a lot of chances. That's another thing. They were talking about some six seed out of the All-Star break. We believe we can still go to a six seed, but please stop it, bro.
That
And then
shit,
I get the fans. I get it. You don't want to tell, championship, a championship core that they're delusional, but they're delusional. They
I
were
mean,
delusional.
shout out to them. They had a great run, but
It's over.
it ends bad. It never
It
like
always ends like this.
it
Yep.
always ends like this. It's never like this grand send off where everyone got to die on their shield. Nah, man, you end up mid. That's how it works. They are them dudes is old, and it is what it
Yep.
is, and it's gonna be what it's gonna be.
Exactly. So yeah, so it's an intriguing storyline that we gotta pay attention to too, 'cause yeah, I'm not worried about them. Like I know Lakers are down there. I think we've created enough separation to this point at this point where we're kind of like, okay, we are trying to trend up. It's not a thing where we're trying to fight off people behind us. Granted, yes, we're still technically fighting off like the Suns and all that, but like we are our own enemy right now. I think that Washington L, I know Sac also beat the Magic, so it ended up being like, oh, it doesn't matter, but
That's some bullshit, by the way. They should have
exactly.
beat them. They should not have beat them.
Exactly. But I think we're still in a good spot to control our own destiny. Again, those two games are gonna, to me, are gonna decide things.
I think we're gonna split it,
I
but
think we're gonna split it too.
just because it's just hard to beat a team twice that's decent, that's comparable. But if we beat them twice, buddy.
We're due though. That's like the Denver game. Like,
The
I believe in
gas,
omens, and that Kyrie game winner was an omen because it's for them to have swept us. They played us what four times to sweep all four times. That's like tough. Literally, he had to, even though, yeah, we won on a game winner, but that was like from the basketball god saying that it's rare for you to sweep a team, when you play them like three plus times. And I think we're in a situation with the Kings where it's gonna be tough, but if we won both of those games, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
No, I wouldn't be
Just
shocked
knowing
either,
that, like,
and I'm so I want it to happen so bad.
I want it to happen. So if we win those two, there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to be no lower than six.
My issue is like just to prove my point, and like people are like, oh, you were saying Nico wasn't that good, and now look at no man. Like I want the glaze to be justified. I want the gas to be justified for Luka, for Nico, for all these players. Because look, man, especially for you and me, like bro, we especially you. I was on the Dan Gafford train for fucking years. Bruh, since I've been on Mavs Twitter, I have been trying to get Daniel Gafford to fucking Dallas. That was some motherfuckers was like, is he really good? Blah blah blah. I'm like, bro, I'm trying to get him to Dallas. Hell, I ain't trying to be that guy. You was telling me I was crazy and shit. I was like, hey, we sure Daniel Gafford shouldn't start? And here we are. Here we are. And I think we both were in on PJ Washington. You were definitely on PJ Washington earlier than I was, but we both watched the tape and was like, hey, this motherfucker was giving bigs problems, like good bigs problem. He probably would be a nice fit here. So like these moves, I need them to work. So I feel like I know ball myself, but can they actually work before we start gassing them up? That's all I want to say. Please let them work. Please let them work. And I think if we beat the Kings twice, I think that locks us out of the play-in. If we get out the play-in, I don't give a fuck who we play. Line whoever you
Bro, I
got
don't care
up in
either.
front of
I
us.
will call that a success, bro. Yeah, because I know things change after the trades. Like, I don't, that's why, especially when a team makes big trades, I kind of throw out preseason stuff because it's like, okay, you just made a big trade. You know, like it
Yeah.
doesn't, yeah. So like us saying, because I remember we had them at what, like the 9 seed, nine,
Yeah.
eight seed at that. Now, I mean, that prediction again can't really, doesn't matter now because we made such kind of big trades to our rotation that
We
doesn't matter.
change it changed like bro, from before the trade deadline to right now, that is every starter but Luka and Kyrie.
Yeah, we changed our whole starting. Yeah, actually, except for Derrick Jones Jr. too, and Derrick
I
B.
mean, Josh Green was starting. Josh Green was the starter.
Well, not at the beginning of the year. Derrick Jones Jr. was starting.
Right, but I'm saying at that
But
point,
yeah, I get what you're saying though. Yeah,
yeah, like,
gosh.
so all the
Josh.
starters have
Yeah.
swapped, and that's a big deal. So if them boys get on a run, and I'm sorry, I think if we play Denver in the first round, I don't think they will fuck us up like that. And I'm sorry, bro, we beating the rest of them teams. Boy, I think we're gonna beat them, and then when we beat them, I would talk shit and I'd say, now y'all can praise Nico and Luka, because to me, that's the standard for when we calling these guys generational and great, and that they doing good jobs as GMs. Like, I'm sorry, man, to be great, you gotta win. And like we said, James Harden, I don't even like James Harden like that, but he never stunk. No matter what the fuck was around him, he got his team to 50 wins. Dirk got, I mean, bro. Shout out to Antoine Wright, Texas A&M's finest, but he fucking stunk. But he was a starter on a 50-win team at shooting guard next to fucking Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk Nowitzki took a team with Adrian Griffin and Dasana Jop and Eric Dampier's the bigs, and he was the favorite to win the finals against a team of literally six fall five. Let's see, Alonzo Mourning, Shaquille O'Neal, Dwayne Wade, Antoine. Like, bro, there's. I say probably four or five Hall of Famers, and he still was the favorite. That's what greatness is to me. And as great as Luka is with the stats and shit, like, it has to come with winning. It just
Yeah.
has to come with winning, bro.
And I think it's coming. That's why I'm saying now when y'all are saying, this is why it's like y'all be careful what you say too, because now you're gonna kind of look crazy to people in that after the trade deadline, it was all, this is the best roster we've ever had. Like, how many times are y'all gonna say that only to, like, if we lose games, to just say, oh yeah, these guys are not that good. Like, y'all start to look crazy, you know, if you keep doing that, like, which is why it's just, it's okay to
Well,
remain patient
yeah,
and not.
and but you get to blame Jason Kidd,
Yeah,
which
or you get to, yeah, start blaming all these, you know what I'm saying? Like, especially when the scapegoat starts to shrink, when now, you know, Powell don't play no more, so he can't get brought up.
so now
You know,
it's Tim's like,
Tim,
wait,
now it's
what's
Tim.
funny, Tim plays 15 minutes a
I
night,
was just about to say, Tim's
so you
minutes
can't
are
even
going
blame
down
him.
now. His minutes are going down now, so you can't jump on. So I'm not, again, I'm not trying to say, oh, this all leads back to Luka. No, but at the end of the day, if you keep, if we're talking about different iterations of a team, and you keep saying the same things, yeah, we're gonna have to start looking at the common denominators. That's
Yeah.
how deducing works. That's how, you know, deduction works. So yeah, I
Yeah.
think I just think, yeah, we're saying the same thing of greatness has to start coming now, and you have to
Yeah.
start putting things together. And it's not just playoffs. It's not just you say, oh, who cares about March? Who You have to care about March when you ain't done a damn thing in the regular season, really. You have to care about it. You know, it's like the
Exactly.
Clippers. The Clippers finally this year, it's not a coincidence after years of being kind of middling and injuries and all that. This year, granted, yes, the league put in a player participation, the rules of the 65. Yeah. But it wasn't any coincidence. I mean, now they're floundering, but it wasn't a coincidence that the Clippers, you know, really buckle down in the regular season where their stars are playing back to backs, you know, like everybody's playing. And they got, you know, some success out of it and they looked legit. You know what I'm saying?
We
Like,
are,
I think we're coming though. That's what I'm saying.
yeah.
Next by next season, I think if we get the point of attack help, you know, we keep the guys together, we get some, you know, continuity finally, we get some point of attack help. I think next year is the year
Yeah,
that we, yeah.
before we wrap it up, I want to go over some stats to where I don't know if we're lying to ourselves if these stats remain constant the rest of the season. Like, nah, man, we just a good team. So we'll get into it after this break. All right, and before we get out of here, these were some stats I looked up when I think it was the last game we played. I'll keep it 100. I fell asleep, so I didn't watch literally a single play live, like dead ass. I fell asleep like 5 minutes before the game started, and I woke up, and the shit was over with. And the timeline was like Dunk City, Lob City Mavericks. Folks was hyped. And then I looked at the box score, and we couldn't throw it in the ocean, but we won. So during Luka's career, I basically looked at like 2 or 3 month stretches, right? Since he's been a Maverick, and how the defense played and how what the record looked like. And basically, just to summarize it, I tweeted about it real late. If we play defense, even league average, we pretty much have one of the best records in the NBA during that stretch. I'm not talking about good. I'm not talking about top five. I'm just saying league average. If Luka is on the court and the Dallas Mavericks are a league average defense while he's out there, we are one of the best teams in the NBA. And since the trade deadline, since Luka and I'm Luka, since PJ and Gafford have been in our lives, this was true after our last game. Honestly, I haven't looked at it since then. I don't think any teams have really been setting the world on fire defensively. We were 14th. And since they've Luka and PJ, PJ and Gafford have been in our lives, I mean, we basically a decent defense. Now, there's been some times of elite defense. Then, we were the worst in the league for the 5, 6 games after the All-Star break, but we've turned it back on. And like you said earlier, so much of our wins and our losses over, especially last year, and I'd even say the first part of this year, has been dependent on 3-point shooting. But the truth of the matter is, no. When you look at the season that everyone likes to hype up, and myself included, the reason why they were good because they guarded. They were not that great of offense that year.
No, you're right. No, you're actually right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, they.
That was me misspeaking that year. Yeah, we and I think I mentioned it too in that we because I remember this was before Luka came back. Because remember he was hurt for those
Yeah,
10 with those he was hurt with his ankle.
he basically missed all of December, maybe played 1 or 2 games, and then he was still kind of shaky when he got back in January.
Yep, and then he turned it on at that towards the end, and then yeah. But I remember just saying that. We were winning games on defense. I was like, listen, Luka gotta come back and fall in line on that end because like our identity was defense, definitely that year. Yep, you're right.
And if you look at during the Luka era, all the times we've looked like a real team has involved guarding, and we're guarding right now. And if we keep this up, the 3-point shots, they're gonna come and go. I do think dudes eventually gonna start cashing them bitches out. But even if they don't, bro, guarding, playing defense, being an above average defensive team is the way. It's the way for the Luka era. Fuck them stats. Y'all know, I'm a Tim Hardaway defender. But even if he's making threes against real teams, unless Luka or Kyrie are just not playing to where you can get away with two dudes not guarding, you can't get away with three. You know what I'm saying? Not against a real team. So he can't play with either one of them, and he can only spell one of them for, if he's making threes, he can only spell the other for a limited amount of time. So as much as I love Tim, as much as I thought 3-point shooting is important, no, bro. The common denominator with winning games while Luka has been out here has been guarding people. Even if you go back to like when Rick Carlisle was here, you remember what was it, 2021, where we ended up being the fake fifth seed? The first half of the season, you remember the record-setting offense or whatever fuck we had going on. We were only 500. If you go from the All-Star break to the end of the season, we had one of the best records in the league, and we were 15th in defense. That ain't great, but his league is literally league average. And we had one of the best records in the league. Rick Carlisle's last season here, believe it or not, for the season, it was a bottom 10 defense. But from the All-Star break through the end of the season, it was mediocre, and we were winning a lot of fucking games. In the first half of that season, it was the defense was ass. And we were about 500. And I just come to realize, like, you get Luka on a team that can guard. You put Luka, be it Jalen Brunson, be it Kyrie Irving, with another dude that can dribble and be a his own offensive engine, we will win. And I know during most of this pod, we've been like, oh, Luka's not that good. If you want to take it that way, blah, 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 whatever. But I think now we have a template for how this is going to work out for Luka and the Mavericks and everybody to win games and for everybody to get what they want. Because sometimes I feel like the Luka stans don't actually they want him to it's, they were honestly y'all remind me of Kobe stans to where y'all don't y'all want what's best for Luka's stats so y'all can push a narrative independent of if it's good for the team winning, right? It feels I know Kobe stans used to do that back in the day and like. If Luka's counting stats take a hit next year, but we win more games, I'm fine with that. Like I actually prefer that. I don't really care if Kyrie stepped up or any random player we have. Like I would love to have the team that Jason Tatum has. Y'all be kind of hating on Jason Tatum, and I don't think he's an MVP. I don't think he's You know, I don't think he's had a good a season as Luka did, but I would love to be able to have a team so good, a roster so talented that people could say that about Luka, right? So that's my point. I just think we really got a chance to be good here. My only issue with the stand-em is like, let it actually happen. Let the results come before we start giving out the praise. We got a really good shot. We got a chance to make our mark here. But let it play out because, like you said, hey, bro, let's say we end up being the eighth seed and we get packed up in the first round. I'm sorry, you look fucking stupid if you thought Luka, like to me, that you say Luka actually won MVP and we're the 7-8 seed and we get packed up in the first round. Do you want that? I don't. I don't. I don't want that at all. I would prefer him just not to win it at all than to get. If you could guarantee me he won MVP while we were the 7-8 seed and we lost in the first round, I just wouldn't want that. I don't want that for him. I don't want that for his legacy. I want him to get it and have it not be controversial and clean because we're so good and he's so good that it's just not a, it's not an argument. And I think he's capable of doing that. And I think we're capable of doing that. And that's all my 2 cents on it. That's all my 2 cents for this week, ma'am. Did you have anything else you want to add on?
No, sir.
Well, all right, y'all. We thank y'all for listening. It's another episode. My work schedule, my son's sports schedule has evened out, so we should be able to knock this off every week. And if we don't, oh well. But either way it goes, we thank y'all for listening. We about to make this shake. Lord willing, these Mavs about to keep playing this good defense, and we about to go on this run. And man, I think this is the biggest week of the season we got coming up. So hopefully, we will do what we need to do, and we will be in good moods about it next week. But either way, thank y'all for listening. We holler at y'all next week. Peace.